It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Maleski.
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. A little bit of a blustery day in front of us, I think.
Oh yes. It's all relative. There's bluster, and then there's really big bluster. So I'm okay with what's happening now. At one point in the past, I would have thought, oh, that's wind. But reflecting upon our experience over the last week or so, yeah, it's changed.
You know, I haven't had really a chance to talk to you since the windstorm, Mike. Did the studio suffer any damage? Or I know we've gone back and forth about our own snow shoveling any damage there to the studio?
My body is still recovering. Fortunately, what we were able to do is have a couple of volunteers join us. Matthew Beck and Jerry came down, and they helped shovel out the back door. There was a drift there that was massive. And the three of us were able to do it, but I can still feel the effort. And that kind of drifting that has happened, I think many people shared an experience of, because we've had drift before, but this was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We did lose a little bit of equipment. Our weather station mounted on a pole on the roof. The pole was blown over, and so I've got a new weather station I'm putting in, so we'll be able to report accurately from right down here in downtown. But other than that, fortunately, we were able to have power continue to essential elements of the studio. And
important.
So that kept going. So, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, we had we had the same drifting problem. We got out the Sawzall to cut a path to the street, and, the city came through and got the big drift, which was in front of our house, so had a little bit of help to do that. We do have a weather station on our roof of our garage, Mike, a little bit of an older one, but I think it still has pretty accurate readings. It stayed up. We recorded a gust of 91 miles per hour.
Whoa.
I'm a few blocks away from you, but, yeah, it was pretty epic, that's for sure. I was really glad to have the windows stop rattling. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Very thankful for a little bit of power outage, not bad. Certainly in relation to what I'm hearing, feel very, very lucky indeed.
Yeah, the different. A lot of stories out there, a lot of stories, experience. Well, let's turn to it. We had this week two meetings in particular, actually three meetings. One was the Palmer City Council meeting, and I was there for that, and I've got a lot of detail on that. A brief meeting, less than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And also previous to that, on Monday, the 10th, there was a Matsu Borough School Board meeting, and Emily Forstner, in her usual way, was there, and she streamed it and did a wonderful job, I thought, in summary. And in summary, details what happened there. It is up on our website. I would encourage listeners to do that. I'm not going to even try to.
She does such a good job. You can't.
Yeah. Because she captured captured the essence of it, and even in a relatively short meeting there, less than an hour. And also, you brought me on to a special meeting that the Borough Assembly had this week, which was Tuesday, and it dealt with Port McKenzie. And I've begun looking at the reference that is there, which is they used a presentation tool, and it's up on the MatsuGov.us website, the borough's website. And so people can take a look and make up their own mind about what information there is available and is being presented to the Assembly about Port McKenzie. I do not have, I haven't yet had a chance to look at what direction was given, because that was the point of the meeting.
That's important. Yeah, I haven't either. I'm going to go back and listen to that meeting, Mike. I've got to say, it's a little bit of a kink in my schedule because now both the meetings start at 6 p.m. It was kind of gave me an hour there to do one and jump to the other, but I wasn't able to listen to it. But I will say sort of a bravo to Mike Brown getting this online before the meeting, which to me is, you know, always a big stickler point. And I thought the presentation in itself, haven't heard the narrative, was pretty well done.
Yep.
And pointed out some really important things about the port, which particularly us were farther away from the port here in Palmer. But just one slide, the port construction funding, which has been $60.5 million, and how that was all came together. The state of Alaska's $33 million and the borough's $12.5 million. And $12 million from the federal government. Then there's a little slice in there of $3 million from the private sector. So I'm really going to go back and listen to that. I'm curious. I'm glad it's been brought forward. It's been given as a top agenda item for Manager Brown, and I think he's got a good start here by laying out exactly what's out there, what the costs are, you know, what's what they see as the future, it looks like, from this presentation. And I'm very curious to see what direction the assembly gave them.
And, of course, this has been one dramatic discussion point to continue on with support of the port or to, I don't know what, and I think that's been the problem. If you do not continue working toward making it a worthwhile endeavor, what do you do? What do you do with it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, you owe the federal government a lot of money to start with. I know that they've looked at that, even the cost of mothballing it, because it doesn't generate much revenue at all. It's been a disappointment to many assemblies. But we'll see. Maybe they've got a fresh start, and because of the overall supply chain problems of the country and the capacity of what is happening in Anchorage and what they're able to do, maybe it's time for the port to really light up. So we'll see. Let's encourage others to listen, and maybe we can talk about that next meeting after we both had a time to digest it.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Well, let's turn to the city of Palmer. It's a short meeting, and kind of an interesting collection. The people that were present included the city clerk, Shelley Acteson. It included Mayor Steve Carrington, Deputy Mayor Pamela Moline, and let's see, what else?
No new acting city attorney, Sarah Heath.
Yes, exactly. She was welcomed, and she had an opportunity to speak. There was a question asked, and I was very much impressed with the clarity of her comments. She had the proper lawyerly references without overdoing them, in my opinion, to the point where you said, okay, wait a second, what does this mean? I think people nodded and said, okay, yeah, that was a good answer. And
I think we should maybe point out, I think I'd like for you to go through that, but just before that, just a note about Sarah Heath and her background. I first met Sarah when she was working for Governor Walker.
Right.
She ran the office here in Palmer, and she's always been well-spoken. She knows how to handle herself in front of all types of people with a lot of clarity, so I think she comes from a background of that. Some lawyers can get sort of stuck in that lawyerly talk, and she seems to be sort of a plain talker, which I think will be very helpful at the table.
Right.
So we'll see where that goes. I always think Nick at the Borough is very good at that too, so I look forward to her participation and to see how she, this is a good start for her in presenting herself, I would think.
Right. Now, all the other members, Mr. Best, Mr. Daniels, and Valerius and Combs were on Zoom. And
was Mr. Best on Zoom, or was he calling in?
He was calling in. I stand corrected.
Right. I don't think he's ever been on Zoom, as I know. He's always just on Zoom.
And as I would guess, he has already gone down to Juneau, because that's where he'll be working as the session moves along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after They started.
Oh, one other thing.
Okay,
go ahead. The manager was not at the table. I noticed he was calling it in too.
Right. Well, in part there was, and this is a topic that I'll jump to the point where I spoke at audience participation, and I welcome certainly Sarah Heath, but what I was encouraging the city to do was to take a look at the communication they made. We've just earlier mentioned the wind and power outages and so on. Mm. And as a station, what we do, we look for all sources of information that would help us to tell listeners what's happening. The borough did a pretty good job, both in terms of...
True.
Yeah, they have a Facebook post, they have their website. They also have an emergency operations center and a phone number, which mm-hmm. you could call and get information. They staffed that. Mm-hmm. When I turned to the city of Palmer, as I did during that time, there's nothing. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything. And I said, even if it were a small amount to reference, if people are wondering about this or that, here are some important numbers. The borough number at the EOC, maybe if there are some things that are happening like closures of buildings or recommendations of one sort or another, that be acknowledged that there's this thing going on. But city's website is pretty clean of much of anything of that sort that's current.
Yeah, you know, this has sort of been a problem area that I've probably acknowledged a few times, Mike. They do have some tools. They sort of underuse, in my opinion. Nobody likes a robocall, but everybody likes information when there's a big event going up in their community, especially an emergency one. And I recognize the fact that a lot of people don't live in downtown Palmer or live in the small 5-mile radius of Palmer, but some people didn't have power, but you know that they are able to robocall people and let them know information. They very rarely use it in my experience of living in Palmer. Even if it's something as small as to say, hey, you know, our road graders are going to be on these streets this day, please, you know, remove your vehicles, or, you know, something as mundane as that, or say, hey, there's an emergency shelter opened up. If you need or know someone who needs assistance, this is where it is. And it's really underutilized, in my opinion, and I'm not sure why. But that would be complement what you're talking about, of having a more robust presence in both social media and on their webpage. And I just don't know that that's ever been, there hasn't really been a position for that at the borough, in all fairness. They have a pretty strong PR department now, and that helps.
It's
really the face. It's the face of government to the people, and I think they should be relooking at that and saying that at least that should have a part-time position or, you know, whether they contract it or rather see it within the employees. But I really think that is something that this really points out, that they need to have a stronger presence to speak to the people on.
Okay.
So I agree.
So if someone looked at the agenda, the agendas that are available at PalmerAK.org, they're mm-hmm. laid out there, you would see that there was a consent agenda which contained what looked like the majority of what was going to be covered. Mm-hmm. And basically, it had to do with liquor licenses and some management services contracts with the golf course and Museum of History and Art. Very significant pieces, but they did not receive very much in the way of any discussion at all.
Right.
So that the rest of the meeting, what did you notice?
Well, let's go back to maybe where Sarah Heath stepped in and tried to unwind some a legal matter. Why don't you talk about it, Mike? Because I think you followed a little better than I've been able to this last month. But had to do with appointing a new vacant council seat.
Right. There were some questions that were asked. Mr. Daniels asked one, and basically, I think there were two things that happened that were very positive. One was the mayor, Mayor Carrington, went through and the timeline of the process that was used around his stepping up to being mayor and the issues associated with replacing him on the council. The seat had to be vacant, and then there's a process to be used for it. I think what we would do is bring in here that Mr. Best was particularly concerned about the dilatory nature of the process. He thought it could have moved along much faster so that there would be a replacement on the council. And I think both Mayor Carrington and the attorney, Sarah Heath, walked through and explained what had happened and what the process is, and it's working. This is where it is right now. And, of course, this is made, I think, a little bit different because Sarah Heath has only, as of January 6th, become the attorney for the city. And there was a previous attorney, and there was a whole bunch of other stuff happening. And so I think there was an admission that, yeah, well, we've learned a lot. We don't do this very often, and this process is now working according to the guidelines that we have, with some recommendations, perhaps, of cleaning up both the language and the process, and that'll be something that'll come later on.
Right. Yep. That was a good summation of it, I think. It was done calmly, and I think it was explained pretty well. So where we're at now is they are accepting applications for council seats. Is that right?
Right. There have been three people that have qualified, according to the clerk's report, and that has to be done if someone is listening, is interested, by Friday the 14th.
Right.
End of the day.
And then the next step will be, what is the next step, Mike? On that.
Well, as the change has been made, the mayor reviews those applicants and chooses. And then basically that's the story. Unless four members of the council override his choice, it has to be four.
Okay. So one person now is in position of filling that council seat, really.
And that was the concern. Before, the council had to do that, had more of a say in doing it. Now they have a say, but it comes after the choice. And there was some considerable discussion about that, but at least at this point, that's the way it should be or is going to be. And I suspect that it will be the 25th when the next meeting happens, that the mayor will have had time to review and make that choice and announce it then. So that's where we're looking.
So I guess the other elephant in the room on this was also announced at the meeting that the members of the public that have been endeavoring to recall three assembly members have turned in those recall petitions.
Right.
And they're reviewing them, I suppose, and if they're found
adequate,
okay,
yeah,
or adequate to proceed, then there'll be a special election to determine whether or not those members of the council are recalled. And that would put, it would seem, just based on what we've just talked about, that would put Mayor Carrington in position to not only name one member of the council, but three more.
If they were recalled, would be the case.
The mayor would be actually appointing four of the seven members of the council.
Right, and that was the concern people have had about this whole thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good concern to have.
Once we hear from the clerk, which probably be the 25th. Whether those petitions have been approved or not, reported, and they begin setting the election, then I think you'll begin to hear pro and con about the election itself, because at this point there's been a lot of presentation, particularly audience participation, with many statements made that I'm not certain have been entirely accurate. At no point, and I think what will become an interesting reflection, and people will be, drawn to reviewing what the external lawyer actually said about the actions that he was asked to review, that these three members, four members at that time, had been participating in, which was Facebook group meetings. And that still remains the, if not the elephant, the rabbit in the room, saying, okay, so what is the guidelines for participation in yeah. Facebook groups?
Doesn't seem like there's really any, even in the state, but we will see. It'll be an interesting chapter to talk about for sure, Mike.
Right. I think it's probably accurate to say that there's been an expression of moral of what is often termed moral outrage, that there was an apparent or suggested alleged violation of the Open Meetings Act, but that hasn't been played out in court. And at this point, it feels like a trial by recall. What we're talking about.
Well, this is sort of a symptom of the country right now. We saw this play out in Anchorage at a large cost to both the city and individual supporters on both sides, who tried to recall two assembly members in Anchorage. It failed, but it was a long, drug out, expensive operation. And if you really look nationally, kind of a strategy in some, I'm not saying this one is because it hasn't played out, but if you look in other communities, it's been sort of a strategy. There's been a lot of recalls at the local level, and some successful, most of them not successful that I've read about. So,
yep, even as close as Anchorage. Yeah.
Right. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, we're just about run out of time. So, Citizen Lobbyists, any last comments before we finish up?
Well, looks like the city of Palmer has a economic development meeting coming up and a parks and recreation meeting coming up. Their agendas are online. The clerk's doing a good job getting those posted. And next week, another regular assembly meeting.
Okay. Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at RadioFreePalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.